The following program is sponsored by Evangelical Life Ministries.
Welcome to Engaging Truth, the manifestation of God's Word in the lives of people around us. Join us each week as we explore the impact of His message of spiritual renewal. From the lesson of forgiveness forged in the crucible of divorce, to the message of salvation learned by an executioner from a condemned killer, to the gift of freedom found in the rescue of victims of human trafficking. This is God's Truth in Action.
Greetings in Christ's name from Engaging Truth. My name is Bill Pruitt. I'm your host for this particular program. And our guest today is Leslie Sullivan, the Celebrate Director at St. John Lutheran Church in Cypress, Texas. Leslie, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
St. John is an LCMS congregation of about 1,000 confirmed members and a weekly attendance of about 650. And Leslie is the what they call the Celebrate Director there. Leslie, would you give us a little bit of information about your background and tell us essentially how you got here and how things are going?
Well, it's like I said, it's good to be with you. I am the Celebrate Director here at St. John. I'm a Director of Christian Education in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and just blessed that I've been doing this now for 20 years. Been in ministry now for 20 years, and so and have served in a few different capacities as a youth and family ministry director, and now as a Celebrate, as I also say, Celebrate / worship director, because like you said, sometimes people think Celebrate is the party planner, which it is, because I like to think of worship as a time where we can just celebrate all the goodness of God and do that together as a community and as a fellowship of believers. And so I'm really, really blessed to have the work I get to do here at St. John, which includes just worship planning, kind of all the logistics of worship, from the volunteers to our AV and tech needs to music. I also direct the choir, which is a challenge I never thought I would take on in my life. But the Lord said, hey, try it out. And it's been a blessing to do. And also sing and worship with our worship team. And so music is just a beautiful expression of worship for me. So, and then I also just work on all of our graphics and kind of all the behind the scenes stuff for lots of different events and worship events here at St. John. And so kind of, we always joke, it's duties as assigned as needed, kind of extra things that sometimes happen. So, but all in the context of getting to proclaim the Lord. So.
Well, it sounds like a chainsaw juggling exhibition instead of a Celebrate Director.
It's a little bit of everything every week, but it's kind of actually just the way my brain works and my background works. So it's actually a great expression of my vast gift set. Like I said, I have a lot of different gifts, maybe master of none, but definitely enjoy getting to do them all. And again, in the context of getting to celebrate the Lord. So.
Now you have a musical performance background, as well as you mentioned you were the choir director. Is that something you've done in the past?
So I've always been a part of, like, at all the churches I've served, I've been a part of choirs and praise teams and play guitar and all those kinds of things. I actually have a background. Before I was a DCE, I was doing theater for a number of years, and have a degree in costume design and stage management from a university. And so I've always had a background in the arts, quite honestly. And so that's why it's so fun to kind of bring it to fruition in a church setting, and get to help with a lot of those kinds of aspects of worship and of the church and putting events on and things like that. And so, like I said, music, I just have always been a part of. I've always loved singing since I was a little kid, and that kind of stuff. But it's just a joy to get to do it in the context of both worship and concerts and events and things like that for church. So.
That's great. Sort of like executive producer / minister. It's a really, really.
A bit of everything. Yeah.
Exactly. How do you, you mentioned you have several different aspects of service of divine service at St. John. I know there's a contemporary service. You have a majestic grace service. How do you balance those liturgical pieces in order to make that a smooth flowing operation? Or are they two distinct different kinds of worship services?
I think there's a lot of distinction between the two for the contemporary and our traditional. Our traditional tends to follow a little bit more of the divine service in our Lutheran service book, in our Lutheran heritage too. We tend to follow, divine service one, and three are kind of the main ones we use. And so we tend to stick to a lot of that kind of the liturgical elements. But we're also blessed that we've been able to, incorporate our own liturgies here and there, right? Things for different seasons or series that we're in and things like that. And I think for me, the importance of liturgy actually transcends to both styles of worship, both contemporary and traditional. The nice thing with traditional is we have a little bit of it already written for us in what our Lutheran heritage is with our Lutheran service builders and things like that. But we definitely, for our contemporary worship, really strive to add elements of liturgy into it, whether it's a scripture reading, the confession absolution, even sentences, opening sentences here and there, to show, it's actually just so that we can have that call and response time with the congregation members and our Lord, so that we're in that conversation of how we worship together. And I think that's what's so neat about liturgy, whether it's very, very formal and already written for us, or we kind of invent it a little bit so that it fits the style that we're doing of any service, whether it's contemporary or traditional. So
it's almost a conversational kind of setting with the Lord. That's one of the, one of the things that we've always stressed, and is that prayer and worship, like prayer, should be a dialogue and an ongoing dialogue and not just an event. And I think that's reflected in the style of services that you have. Are the two services, do they have different congregational groups, or is there some crossover back and forth between who attends what? Or
we definitely have a lot of people that go to both and intermingle, or however you want to say that, because I love that I get to do both on every Sunday. And I know some people will be like, oh, you have to say that it's your job. I don't. I actually love both styles because I love the tradition and the slightly more organized version of traditional worship. And I love a little bit more of the extemporaneous and open feel of contemporary, at least in the context of how we do it, And I just think that it's neat because it meets kind of a whole bunch of different needs you might have in your day, in what you're going through, in what you're connecting with, or who you're connecting with in the worship service, whether it's the member sitting next to you, the best friend you've sat next to in worship for 20 years, whatever that is. I think that's what I love about worship is our focus is to glorify the Lord, right? That's what we want people to leave worship with. But it is also about that celebration of believers together, singing and praying and praising and listening as a body of believers, to encourage and equip each other for whatever part of the journey you're on. And that's why I love the different styles, because it really helps, no matter what season of life you're in, to find that nugget that day that just might help you get through whatever it is that you're going through.
I think that was the very disappointing thing about the COVID pandemic and what it did to congregate. It's so difficult to be a congregation if you can't congregate. And I think
exactly.
the corporate prayer and the corporate worship is something that people sorely missed during the pandemic. And I'm so glad that we're back together doing the kinds of things that we're doing now. Do you ever find yourself attempting to sort of sneak a contemporary song into the Majestic Grace service and vice versa? Or is there...
All the time. In fact, this upcoming Sunday at church, we're doing a contemporary song in the traditional service, and the choir's singing it. But there's been such a beautiful attention to music lately, in my opinion, that really does fit both styles, because it's got like a hymnody to it, a hymn feel to it. But you can also amp it up a little bit with a guitar solo if you really wanted to in somewhere, you know what I mean? And songs that can fit both genres are few and far between. They really are. But there's a few out there that are just beautiful pieces that fit. It doesn't matter, because the words and the story that you hear in it, like the song we're doing this weekend is King of Kings. And it's the full story. It's cradle to ascension, right? I mean, it's the full story of resurrection and ascension, and we want to be able to proclaim that all the time. And so it's a bit of a challenge sometimes when we try to take a contemporary song and put it into a choir setting or a traditional worship setting, but it's a challenge that's worth it because it helps people to hear the story in different ways and in different genres. So,
and one thing I have noticed as well is how easily adaptable some of the old hymns are into a contemporary kind of setting as well. And that I think that really sort of provides a link from the contemporary side of the house to the kind of people we really need to reach, the younger people who are unchurched or not as willing to come to church as us fogey old conservatives are, because we were raised in it. It's much more, I think, attractive to the younger crowd to find something like that where they can actually feel that zeal for the Lord within the music. And I think that's one of the things that's missing a little bit. Let me take just a moment and talk to the people about ELM. Engaging Truth is a production of Evangelical Life Ministries, a not-for-profit corporation based in Cypress, Texas. All our on-air hosts are uncompensated volunteers, and our programming is supported by listeners and donors. To contact us, you can send us a note at P.O. Box 568, Cypress, Texas, 77410. You can find us on the internet at www.elmhouston.org or on Facebook at Evangelical Life Ministries. And our podcasts are also available by searching for Engaging Truth wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, thank you. We are rejoined by Leslie Sullivan, who's the Celebrate Director at St. John Lutheran. If you were advising someone who aspires to the kind of a position that you have in a church, what sort of advice would you give them? How would you go about preparing for something like this?
I think it's funny because I didn't come by church work traditionally per se. I'm a second career DCE, became a church worker when I was 26, and I'd already gotten a degree and started working in the world before I became a DCE. And so I say to anybody who has an interest in serving the Lord, whether you're a DCE, a pastor, a lay worker, a volunteer, it's a lot of prayer and a lot of trying things. Take those talents and gifts that the Lord's given you and find out where they work, how they work, what they're for. Does it do this? Does it do that? Does it benefit this? Does it help that ministry? Like, you can love youth group, but not want to work with youth. You know what I mean? Like, you can see the value in youth group, but not necessarily be the chaperone that goes on every trip, but you're a great supporter to the youth. If you're a volunteer or a DC, I mean, any of those capacities. And so for anybody who has interest in church work, I say keep finding those niches that help you define your role in the church or in your faith life, because you also have to be super active in your faith life to understand what the Lord's leading you to. And it's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of talking to God. And that's also prayer. But I'm just saying it's a lot of those just digging in and finding out what you're good at and finding out where the Lord wants you to serve. So.
I know there have been a lot of challenges in the past few years. We talked about the pandemic a little bit ago, and some dwindling attendance and the unchurched. And what would you say are the greatest challenges that are going to be facing the church in the next 4 or 5 years?
I would definitely say that we have a lot of challenges coming up that say going to church isn't as important as being a Christian. So we want you to have a faith in the Lord, but you don't need to go to church to do that. And you don't need to be a part of an organization or a fellowship of believers or a group in order to do that. You can still care for people in the world and all those kinds of things. But I think the idea of church is hard for some people to understand how to be a part of that and to be a part of our world. So, our world is so fragmented with ideas and influences that are not of God, to put it that way, that those are the things that are creeping into the church and distracting us from the actual goal of preaching Christ crucified day in, day out, helping those who want to know him more. Sometimes the world, and we bring the world to it, gets in the way. So
it's that allure of being an individual and essentially being of Christ as opposed to being part of the body of Christ, which is I think the real cement that holds the church together is the fact that we do congregate and that we share this love for one another, that we need to go out and reach out to other people. And you can't really do that if you're stuck inside a room or watching a service on television, as opposed to being out there and congregating with people.
And for me, it's also that church doesn't have to just be about going to church on Sunday and the building and the worship style. And that's not also what I mean. I love getting to see all my friends on Sundays, right? Like, or Wednesdays or whenever we have church services. I love that. But it's also about, we're called to be church in our community. And I think that's a big thing that we want to strive to do better. But the context of how it gets started is by getting them in the door the first time and then sending them. And that's where the glitch of our culture doesn't always want to do that part of coming into the building first. They want to go serve, but they don't understand that it's all kind of connected. And how do we show them? You know, our statement here is connecting our neighbors to true riches in Jesus. And we want to connect our neighbors, and we want to do it lots of different ways. But we also feel that worship is a good starting point for that. And then from there, we want to get you in a Bible study, a share group, you know, any of our youth group things, our children ministries, our preschool, different things like that. But we feel like that Sunday morning kind of worship time is a great starter place, because it's just come and listen and be with God, be with others who think and feel and love God the way you do. And then let's go from there about how we can change the world together to be for God.
And be with God and among God's people. I think that's true.
Amen. Amen. Because you can't do it alone. That's my thing too. You can't do it alone.
We've seen declines in church membership. We've seen declines in seminary attendance and that kind of stuff. We've seen a dwindling pool of pastors and ministers in the LCMS. Do you see that as helping expand the role of women in ministry? And how can we get people more involved as ministers and to use those nurturing kinds of qualities that women bring to the equation to better serve the church?
Yeah, I mean, there's a decline in all of our church work programs in the LCMS, unfortunately. And it's also just we've set ourselves up with some standards that maybe aren't attainable in the way we go about it. And the world, again, is interfering a little bit with what church actually is meant to be, which is kind of normal in our history, too. But you know, as for women in ministry, I think the big thing that I know from the ladies that I work with and talk with and fellowship with and wrestle with about our ministries is no matter what our role is in our church, whether the youth and family ministry, the children's ministry director, the worship director, the adult, whatever that role is, our job is still just to help point people to Jesus. And to use the different tools that we've been given. And if we can help encourage any member, whether they want to go to school and become a church worker or just be a great volunteer, our job is that encourager and that nurturer of faith. And it's also to encourage families to figure out how to take that into the home each and every week. And I believe that's also what pastors and all church workers are supposed to do. We're not there just to teach. We're there to encourage and nurture and equip. And it's a challenge, but it's probably the best challenge we can have is how do we keep pointing people to Christ week in, week out, with joy, even in the midst of all the different parts, the good parts and the bad parts of our lives. How do we keep pointing them to church? And that is why virtual and streaming services are still a beautiful way to connect people, even though we want them in the building, because at least they're still connecting to us and it gives us a shot, is what my thing is. I want people to be watching us online so that I can chat with them on Facebook, or I can someday meet them in person. That's always my hope, is for those people who have been watching us since the pandemic and never stepped foot in our church, maybe someday I'll get to meet you in person, because it just, the Spirit moves you to do that. And that's true for church workers, church members, however that works. So.
In Leslie's crystal ball, what does the church look like in 5 years, 10 years? Are we still meeting virtually? Is it more virtual? Is it less virtual? How do you see that?
I personally want to see us continue to do virtual, because what it's done for us is when people go on vacation, they can still be connected to church. So that's one aspect of it. And it may be, so like my husband works at a prison. He's a kind of a first responder. He's a, you know, captain at a prison, and he doesn't get to come to church every Sunday. So that's the other reason I think that we should keep some of that virtual quality that we have, but don't rely on it for the relationship building with both Jesus and with those people. It's a starting point, kind of like getting people just to come to church, the building once at one time, and getting them to meet somebody and connect. That's what I think virtual does for us going forward. So in the crystal ball, I think we keep doing virtual for until we can't do it anymore, because it's a beautiful expression to get people a taste and a feel and help them to know Jesus that little bit, that then can maybe build the relationship with them in the future.
Leslie, thank you for taking a look and peeking your crystal ball for us. And thank you for joining us on Engaging Truth. We'd like to ask you to maybe take a couple of minutes just to lead us in a brief prayer before we close, if you'd like to do that.
I would love to. Well, Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time together, Lord. May the words that were spoken today glorify you. May the things that we dream and think about doing all bring you glory, Lord. And may the work that ELM and the work we do at St. John and the work that we do throughout the country and the world, Lord, just be about helping the people to know you more, that we might connect our neighbors to true riches in you, in Jesus. And we just give this all to you in your most holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Leslie, thank you very much for joining us here on Engaging Truth. Make sure you come back and join us next week for another program of Engaging Truth. And again, you can find our podcasts anywhere you get your podcasts, on Spotify. You can find us at elmhouston.org on the website, or you can contact us at Post Office Box 568, Cypress, Texas 77410. Thank you for joining us. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of Engaging Truth. Be sure to join us each week at this time. To help support our ministry, contact Evangelical Life Ministries, Post Office Box 568, Cypress, Texas 77410, or visit our website at elmhouston.org, or find us on Facebook at Evangelical Life Ministries. Thank you.